I need a son and a father team. Do I have a son and... Wow. Okay, I can tell you the expectations I tell the kids in kids' church. Number one, we keep our hands to ourselves, although I do see some spouses who have their arms around each other. I'm not going to break that up. And then we listen to the teacher talking, and when it's your turn, I'll point to you. And number three, participation. Kids, let's show them. It means standing where you're supposed to be standing. Children, show them. Thank you. Spinning where we're supposed to be spinning. Clapping when we're supposed to be clapping, jumping up and down when we're supposed to be jumping up and down, and sitting back, hands folded, nice white teeth, looking straight at me when it's time to be sitting back, nice heads folded, nice white teeth, at me. I didn't make you do that, grown-ups. That's why I said children. But participation. Do I have a father-son team? Do I see? Mother-son? Oh, father-son. Okay, best and which of your sons? He's got a couple. He's like eeny, meeny, miny, wisdom. Okay. Okay, can I tell you this young man? He takes after his name. I tripped off coming off the stage a couple Sundays ago, twisted my ankle and like ran into the wall, but wisdom was like in the way. And I looked at him, I said, get out! Because I was gonna crush him. And not only did he get out, he took his chair with him. And so I only got a small concussion from the wall and a small cut. Okay, now I seriously do want a mother and son. Oh, good, Denise, come on up. Okay, how many of you know what these are? Okay, what are they? Nice, you win the prize of watching them play darts. Okay, so two each, two dad, two son, two mom. Now you gotta hit the mark. So you're on that side, so line up with that one. And the whiteboard, folks, is just so they don't mess anything up. If you come to our class downstairs, they have the whiteboard so they don't hit the wall. Okay, we're gonna go with grown-ups first. Who thinks the mom and son are gonna win? Who think the father and son are gonna win? You have a few more people expecting you to win, so no pressure. Okay, grown-ups, go. Oh, it bounced off. Okay, that's okay. It's your first try. Let's go for it again. Oh, you got on the board. Oh, okay, now children, parents just move out of the way so the people behind can see better. Okay, on your mark, get set, go. Oh, nice. All right, well, they got two on, so give them a round of applause. They got two on, but not actually on the board. Give them a round of applause. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. Now, you might be going, why? Why'd you bring darts? Well, because today we're talking a little bit about missing the mark. Although my message is called A Christmas Story in July, almost. Because we're almost in July, not quite. Guys, Wednesday was 6 months to Christmas. Anybody feel anxiety of already getting gifts? I'm not a good gift giver, so I don't feel anxiety. But the other almost is like, most of our story isn't a Christmas story. So it's like almost a Christmas story. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 1. If you're like really, really observant, you're gonna notice there's 80 verses. And you're like, which ones are we talking about? All of them. Some people laughed, some people didn't. But I was serious, we're gonna talk about all of them because they're all really important for our story today. So, here's the thing. We are people who like stories. Who here likes stories? Okay. Some of you might not know this. I get to work with a publishing company and help people get their stories out into the world. Really cool thing. So what Luke does here in the very beginning is he's like going to talk about the story. So I have a friend who's going to read us this first piece of scripture. So go ahead, Miss Kira, stand up and read us this four verses.
Luke 1:1-4. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught.
I love that. He's like, hey guys, this isn't just me writing something down. I've actually researched it and I'm going to tell you about it. So the first two historical people we meet here is Zechariah. Now, I may switch his name up in this story, because that sometimes happens with me and like some of these biblical names. But Mr. Z, he is a Jewish priest, and he is like got things going for him. His wife, she also comes from the priestly line. So we're talking about two really godly people who the Bible says they are like righteous, and they are choosing to do the things God asks of them. Now, there's a problem though. They don't have any children. And in the Bible times, that was a big, big deal. So Zechariah, the Bible says, it's his turn to go into the temple. Now there's like 18,000 priests. How many of you think that's a lot of people? We live in Edmonton, that doesn't feel like a lot. How many of you ever lived in a small town? Exactly. Sometimes 18,000 feels like a whole lot of people. So it's now his turn to go in and light the incense. Now, how many of you know what incense is? Okay. So I went and got this incense, and I'm not going to light it because it's really stinky. You're welcome. But I did, and I should have got my lighter out right away. I did get a really pretty cinnamon apple. I figured we all like apple pie. No? Not all of us? Okay. So he goes into the temple to light the candle. Now, the lighting of the candle is a part of his prayer time. The Bible doesn't tell us what he prayed for, but he had been praying for a son years earlier. Most likely when he's in this temple time, he's praying for the needs of the community. But this, boys and girls, look at your paper. Is incense on your paper? It is. Go ahead and put your sticker on. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him because there were so many priests. He had been waiting for this his whole life. Can I have my number two reader go ahead and stand up and read?
Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure that this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is also well along in years."
Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until this child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time."
Okay. He says, don't be afraid. How many of you think you would be afraid? Have you ever read the scriptures? Every time an angel appears, it's the first words are, do not be afraid. I think I'd be afraid. The Bible says that he was shaken and overwhelmed with fear. Hello, I would be that too. But the angel came to give him some answers to his prayers. It was a response. The answer came. And then he described it. If you look afterward, after this verse, we don't have a slide for it, guys. It tells you how they are to raise John. So he's not going to drink. He's not going to do all kinds of things. And you know what? I didn't highlight what verse that was, so I'm not going to be able to read it to you. That's okay. It wasn't one of the main points. But here's the thing. How many of you parents had a plan on how to raise your kids? Did it all go according to plan? Like after like 6th hour? I have no children. I am an awesome aunt. I was going to say great aunt, but I technically am a great aunt. To 8 great aunt nieces and nephews. And no, 7 great nieces and nephews, 8 nieces and nephews. And I love them. They're awesome. But my parents had 3 kids. And they raised each of us with very different rules. My mom, one of her favorite stories is a friend of hers was annoyed by how many times I would come and ask questions. And my mom would say, no. Mom, can we have ice cream? No. I'd come back, Mom, can we have ice cream? No. And then she'd take her hands on my face and say, Charity, what does no mean? No means no. Does it mean come back again? No. And what would I do? Come back again. And my friend's like, why don't you punish her for not listening? And my mom said, because when she's a missionary or preaching the gospel and someone says no, she needs to know she can go back and try again. Yeah. My mother took time. My mom took time to talk to God about me, about who I was meant to be. She did not have that same discussion with my sisters. Both my sisters had to talk with mom and dad about, you shouldn't date someone who doesn't believe in God. I wanted to date a guy who went to a different church than us. Mom's like, well, whose church are you gonna go to? I'm like, ours, that's where we met. Like, hello. But that was the discussion she had with both of my sisters, because that was something that they wanted to do. That was never a desire for me. I always knew that, but I'm still single, so maybe it was a bad idea. Just kidding. Missionary dating is not a good idea. That's a total side note. But praying for specific things, describe it. My nephew was a little guy, lonely here in Edmonton. He had no extended family. He prayed for a couple years, and then I moved here. So I tease him all the time, anytime something goes wrong. I'm like, well, it's your fault. You prayed for me to move here. But God answered this child's prayer by having me change jobs and move from Winnipeg to Edmonton. God hears our prayers. Now, for Zechariah and Elizabeth, the Bible tells us they were old. Like, you're not supposed to have children when you're old. None of you thought that was funny. Do you have any friends who have had children when they're old? When you do, you'll laugh. Maybe not. You'll just be kind. So here's where the story pauses. And if you look here at chapter 39, this is where we switch from Elizabeth and Zechariah's story, to the one that is like the Christmas part of it. How many of you think you could almost tell this part off by heart? Anybody? Well, my reader number 3 is going to read that part for us. So there they go. Yep. Yep, it's on.
Okay. No.
Nope. What color is it?
It's not red.
No, so push it up.
Okay. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said."
I love it. So I always keep this in my office because there's never a time when you don't know you need a Mary. I was debating about bringing a child up to act out Mary, but my one of my favorite pieces of scripture is that last part, 38, where Mary says, "I am the servant of the Lord. May everything you have said happen to me." How many of you have ever had an angel talk to you? Okay, I didn't think many would lift hands. How many of you have heard the voice of God talk to you? Or felt an unction or God say, hey, there's a direction here. And then you're like, hey, let this happen to me as you have said. Like, what a perfect response to God. So we're going to continue on with our story. So after she comes and visits, the baby in her womb responds. Now, I don't know how comfortable you are with understanding Holy Spirit or responding or even hearing the voice of God, but it doesn't usually happen to a baby inside someone's tummy. Usually it has to be someone who's an adult, who's a child, who's a teenager, who has made a conscious decision to respond to God. Now, there's some people, I had a friend in Bible college who was a Muslim growing up. She went into the mosque and she prayed, "Allah, can I see you? Can I know you?" And the voice she heard was saying, "You will not find me here." And she left and she went to a church and met Jesus. So we can ask God to lead us and direct us. But here in this situation, because of the spirit of Jesus living in Mary, it responded to John living inside of Elizabeth. So we're going to continue. Mary sings a lovely song. We don't know the tune. The Bible didn't tell us. And then she stayed with her for 3 months. So here's the thing. Elizabeth had shame in her life because she was without child. Mary had shame in her life because she was with child and was unmarried. So these two women come together and comfort each other and go through this beautiful moment of pregnancy together. The Bible tells us that she stayed there for 3 months and went back home. Then it was time for John to be born. I believe that is my fourth reader. Yes, it is.
Luke 1, 59 to 65. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what happened spread throughout the Judean hills.
So imagine that. Somebody who has had his mouth closed for over 9 months all of a sudden has his voice returned to him. So usually this is the time when we ask for imagination, right? I say, "Oh, I just wonder what that would feel like." I lost my voice twice in my life. Once when I was a teenager, and I went to a school. How many of you remember the show Fame? I'm gonna live. That was the high school I went to. I had to audition to get into school, and I used my voice to get into school. And so when I couldn't talk or sing, my mom brought me to a specialist, and the doctor did all these tests, and he said, you can't talk for 2 weeks. It would only be a problem if you were a professional singer. My mom was like, "Well, her voice is what lets her go to school." So I had to be silent for a little bit. And if you've met me, being silent always isn't easy. But then about 15 years ago, I lost my voice again. And it was for about 6 months. Now, what I could get out was a voice like this. And I could try and talk to the kids and lead the kids. But it was like this kind of a voice. Which, if you know, that does damage to your voice. And so, 6 months. And we had a week of prayer and fasting at the church. And I went. And this one day, they were singing worship. Now remember, I went to a school for music. I like to sing. And I was so frustrated because I couldn't. So instead of mouthing worship, like I sometimes do, I just put my face into the chair and I just prayed. And I just talked to God and poured my heart out. The worship pastor was singing 2 or 3 songs. And then he started singing a brand new song I'd never heard before. And it resonated so within me. Have you ever heard a song that's like so easy, you can sing it before like they've completed singing it? Y'all know that kind of song? It was that kind of song. And so then I got up and I just started singing along. And my voice was totally restored. Yeah, it was really cool. After service, I'm like, "Oh, hey, buddy, like, what was that song you sang? What was the last song you sang?" And he told me a song. And I said, no. That was the second to last song. The last song had something to do with, and I told him what it was. And he said, "No, Charity, you're the only one who sang that." And I said, "No, the music was playing and there was other voices." And he said, "No, you were the one who just stood up and started singing." Now, if we think about it, who was I singing with? I was singing with angels. Now, it was a miraculous moment that brought strength and healing to my voice. I was only 6 months. I don't think the Bible says that Zechariah squeaked anything out. I think it's so cool that what he wrote on was wood covered with wax. I want to try that now. But I knew the strength that God brought to me. And each and every one of us have something going on in our lives that could feel like that moment where something has been taken away. It could be, now the Bible clearly states here that they were not barren because of sin. There's a few times in the Bible that it talks about sin could make you not have children. And there's a few women in the lineage of Jesus that we hear about, and it wasn't because of sin. It was because of timing and different things like that. So that's clear. But Zechariah here, he doubted what the angel said, and so he lost his voice. I don't know if me losing my voice had anything to do with sin. That was never revealed to me. But God restored that voice to me. So the eighth day, everyone gathered, and they wanted to name the boy after their father. The weird thing is, guys, that's not normal. How many of you are named after a family member? Yeah, we got a couple. Names are important. And his name was given to him, John, long before he was born. I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask them what their name is. Go to someone you don't know. Some of you are sitting with family. You might have to move. Yeah, you might have to move. I appreciate it. Just turn around. Ask the person behind you. All right. As I say to the kids, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Nice. Our names mean something to us. The young man who came to pray today, I constantly call him his brother's name. And at first, he never corrected me. And I said, dude, you got to correct me, or I will never call you the right name. Even as we were coming up here, I said, hey, want me to pray for you? Best? And he goes, wisdom? I'm like, thank you. Our names matter to us. And being called by that name, in that moment when he chose obedience, freedom came to him. I have a funny story popped in my head right now, and I'm like, should I tell it? I have a niece. Her name is Gabrielle. We were on a road trip when she was 4, and she kept calling me Charityer. And I said, okay, Gabbier, because I thought we were playing a game. We stop at a rest stop, and she cries to my mother, Grandma, she's calling me Gabbier. I don't like it. She's like, well, tell her then. So I'm like, okay, what do you want me to call you? She goes, Akla. And I'm like, Akla? So as a 4-year-old, I'm like, I'm just going to call her it every moment. She'll get sick of it. I can call her name again. She is 22. She has a child. What's the child's middle name? Akla. But I spell it with a C. She spelt it with a K. So it's a little different. This miracle for Zechariah was bigger than just a baby. It was the person who was coming to tell about the Messiah. This prayer that God answered for him wasn't like, hey, honey, we got an offspring. Like, high five. We're not embarrassed anymore. It was, we as Jewish people were promised years ago a rescuer, somebody who was going to cover the sin of the world. So, boys and girls, we talk about this sometimes, right? Adam and Eve in the garden sinned. They wanted to know what was going on, so they ate from the tree of good and evil. That made our hearts dark with sin. So Jesus came and died on the cross for us to take our punishment, to take our sin. Here's the thing. The Israelites didn't understand what that was going to look like. They had hope. But here, John was coming to be the promised messenger before Jesus came. And so this answer to prayer was not just a parent, a mom, a wife, and a husband being happy for their prayer being answered. They were happy for everyone's prayer being answered. Now, how many of you don't have to lift your hands, but how many of you have that one prayer? Maybe it's deep, so deep in your heart, you feel it in your toes, that you maybe haven't shared with somebody, but you've been praying for a long time. And it's maybe not for you, but it's for someone around you. And you're like, God, if I could just, then everything would be okay. I don't know sometimes why prayers don't get answered immediately. If I could get that answer, I'd be a millionaire, Pastor Marlowe. I'd be like, hey, I'll tell you for 10 bucks. And everybody, two, and I'd still be a millionaire. I have some big unanswered prayers in my own life. It took a very long time for the Messiah to come, but it was perfectly timed. The one time Zechariah was going to get to go into the tabernacle and light the incense, it all lined up. Happened on this day. I had to get blood done. I went to a phlebotomist. I love words, people. Did you know the person you see when you have to get blood drawn is a phlebotomist? Who knew that? I knew Cheryl was going to lift her hand. Fun words, and then you can just find ways to throw it in random conversations, and I have found ways to throw that in random conversations. I was supposed to go this day, didn't go, went this day, had this cool conversation with her. She's like, what do you do? And I told her, and she's like, wow, that's cool. And God had a moment in that. So interruptions that derailed me were actually God switching where I was going to be so I could have this pastoral moment with my phlebotomist. She told me I had crooked veins. I know, not something. Well, you have crooked nose. Oh, just kidding. So, I want you to be willing, if you're willing, to maybe turn back to that person you told your name to, maybe somebody else, and tell them how you hear the voice of God. Can you do that? Maybe the person beside you doesn't even know. Maybe you have to be brave. Do you want me to go first? Yeah. Okay, I'll go first. So there's lots of ways. One, I read God's word and it jumps out at you. Like that Mary verse, let it happen to me as you've said. Two, I call it a knowing outside myself. So I'm praying for somebody. This is one of my favorite prayers, testimony things to do. Hold on, I need water. I am in the hills of North Carolina at a youth training thing, praying for this young lady. And I hear, again, a knowing outside myself, tell her I love her like an Oreo. And I'm like, what? Tell her I love her like an Oreo. Now, if you've read your Bible, Oreos are not mentioned there. And we are supposed to go back to the Bible for truth, right? If the Bible doesn't say it, we're not supposed to go that way. But it kept coming back. So I finally looked at her. I said, honey, I'm sorry, but I keep hearing this. Does this resonate with you? I probably didn't use the word resonate. I probably used another word. So I said, God wants me to tell you he loves you like an Oreo. And she starts to cry. And I'm like, what? She's like, in our family, when someone really wants to connect with you, have a deep talk, we go get the Oreos and milk. And we love each other like an Oreo. And I then teared up and I thought, God, thank you for letting me be obedient. Because then she just went away, prayed by herself with God, and had this really cool experience. Now, God could have done that without me, because God is God, I am not God. But he chose me to be in that moment and to trust that still small voice. We remember Ezekiel, right? He wasn't in the... Elijah, thank you. He wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the wind, he was in the still small voice. So that's another way, is that knowing outside myself. Now, thank you, Jesus. My parents used our family prayer time as kids to teach us that. We moved around a lot, and my dad would say, hey, let's pray and find out if this job is for us. And so we would pray. And this one time, we all came back together. He'd let us go away and take a week with it and bring us back. We all came back. He's like, okay, guys, what do you think? And we all bawled because it was like, yeah, we're moving. God told us we're moving. But you can, kids, you can pray and hear God's voice. Now, you have to test it, right? Bring it to someone you trust, lean on them, and that's where accountability comes in. So I talked a lot. Now it's your turn, if you're willing, to turn to your neighbor. And maybe you need to just ask them, how do you hear from God? Maybe, I don't know. Okay, I'll give you just a couple of minutes. If you're online, you can put it in the chat maybe, call up a friend, go ahead. Parents, be sure to connect with your kid on this. Thank you. Okay, if someone else in the group hasn't had a turn, make sure you let the next person talk. Okay, it sounds like you're winding down. The second question I want you to think about, is there a promise or instruction that you've heard God speak over you? There was a time when God told me not to have any streaming services. I was supposed to just like turn it all off and focus on him. And there was one I just didn't cancel because it was so cheap. I'm like, I just won't watch it. I just won't watch it. Like it's not a big deal. Because it was Prime. It's like, I'm going to buy stuff from Amazon. So I'll just keep the Prime one. Like, it's not a big deal. And then I watched a show because I was getting something and like Prime gave it all I had for something. I'm like, and it's like, I should have been completely obedient and just canceled Prime. The church has a Prime account. I can order stuff there. You should see what kids ministry buys on Prime. I'm just saying. But that was not complete obedience. It was partial obedience. Now, God didn't take my voice away, didn't strike me with lightning. My video streaming was slow. No, just kidding. But it wasn't complete obedience. And that's what God asks of us. When I lived in North Carolina, the pastor's favorite thing was slow obedience is no obedience. I'll say it without Southern accent for you who can't understand it. Slow obedience is no obedience. Yeah, that kind of hits, doesn't it? You can use that with your children, parents. But it's true, right? I'm not obeying if I'm doing it slowly. So is there a promise or instruction? Those are two kind of different questions, right? If there's a instruction God's given you and you're not doing it, that's disobedience. If there's a promise he's spoken over you and it hasn't come to pass, that's where hope happens. How many of you know the verse, hope deferred makes the heart sick? How many of you understand that verse? I thought I understood it until, remember my crooked veins? I was supposed to get an iron transfusion and they took 2 hours and 7 pokes because my crooked veins, they couldn't get it in. And the next day I was so hopeless. And then I finally understood that hope deferred. That means hope that's delayed, kids. Like today I'm expecting to leave here and to go to KFC and have the best lunch. And then mom and dad say, we're going to go home and have beans and rice. How many of you feel hopeless right now, Olivia? I see it on your face. You're like, beans and rice? But when it's delayed, our heart gets sick. And Cheryl, you work in medical. A sick heart can actually make the body sick. And I had a migraine for, I don't know how many days, a couple days, Pastor Marla, remember? And so when we're waiting on God's promises, that's when the hope is actually the most important. And our God is the giver of hope. He's the giver of joy and peace. May the God, you know what a verse is right there and that slips out? Do you know the one I'm thinking of, Pastor Marla? Oh.
I just opened to the verse I think you're referring to ooh, read it at the end.
Oh, well there, I'll let you keep your, but that wasn't the one I was looking for, but that's the verse that's on my chalkboard in my house. The peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind. That was the one I was trying to find, if my mind finally found it. I always tell people that goes beyond logic. How many of you are type A logical people? Yeah, so half of you aren't going to raise your hand because you're like, I'm not letting it out of the bag. You're going to make me do something. Peace that goes against all logic. If you are struggling with something medical, the doctors say something, it goes beyond logic to trust him. When finances, it doesn't look like every bill's going to get paid. I've been there. And you're like, God, how are you doing this? And then someone who owed you money, the money's in the you know, bank. It goes beyond logic. The last question, is there doubt holding you back somehow? Zechariah's mistake here was doubting the word the angel gave that was from God. Is there a doubt? I don't want you to share that with your neighbor. I want you to just share that with God in this moment. Today, as you leave, I want you to take a candle home. It's just a small one. It doesn't smell, because I know some people have smelly allergies. That didn't sound right, but you knew what I meant. I make up words all the time. And when you light it, or if you could, light it when you pray the next time, as a reminder of coming into the Holy of Holies, to the God who, Zechariah only got to go there once in his lifetime. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil was ripped, which means we now, the Bible says, go boldly into the presence of God. We get to say, hey, this is what I'm walking through. I get to just tell him. So when light this and bring those requests to God. If you're here today and me talking about Jesus on the cross and dying for our sins, Bible says he rose again. He's alive today. If you've never made that commitment, in a few moments, I'm going to ask you if you want to make that commitment to him. If there's a doubt in your life, a doubt on a promise that God's given you, maybe you're doubting the instructions. When I told you about my nephew praying for me to move here, he didn't call me up and say, Auntie Charity, will you come to Edmonton? What happened was my sister told me about a job the church a church was hiring in Edmonton. And it was a kids pastor position. It didn't sound like what I wanted to do. And I said, well, I'll pray about it. And another friend of mine had a position at his church. And I was like, I want to work with him. So I prayed about it. And God gave me a list of tasks that I was to do next. So I called my sister and said, yeah, I'm going to apply for that other church with our friend. And I told her everything I wanted to do. She's like, that's not his church. That's my church. And I'm like, oh. So I handed my resume. That was October 31st. By November 11th, I was hired. I moved 3 days before Christmas. When God calls us to do something and we listen to the instructions, sometimes it moves fast, sometimes it moves slow. I had to be obedient to answer my nephew's prayer. So sometimes, boys and girls, grown-ups, we have to take action, and that's all that's waiting for God's promises to happen. So go ahead and close your eyes, please. If you're in this, I love laughter. The Bible says in Psalms that God ordains the praises of children. If you're here today and you're like, hey, I want Jesus to forgive me of my sins, the wrongdoing I've done. I want to have a relationship with him. Just go ahead and slip your hand up. I see those hands. I see it. Thank you, guys. Okay. Jesus, I thank you for those people who raised their hand today, who said, Jesus, I want your forgiveness for my sins. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to walk with you. If you raise your hand just in your heart, say, I accept you, Jesus. This is the boss of my life. Walk with me. Show me how to live for you. Today I make the choice to follow you. And if you're in this place and there's a doubt in your heart or an instruction that God has given you and you're just maybe not walking that out, and today you're like, hey, clean slate, Jesus. Let's wash it. Let's just go. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. Go ahead and lift your hand. Thank you. Jesus, you see those hands raised in the hearts of so many. I pray that you would let us have ears to hear your instruction, a heart that's willing to obey, and God, feet that are willing to just put it into action. I thank you that you made a way for us to know you, Messiah, for us to know the rescuer. Let us be reminded of it every day. In your name we pray. Amen.